Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the show. We're glad you're tuned in with us. And I want to remind everybody, for September, our Monday night show will not be Monday the 4th. Our Monday night show will be Monday, September 11th, in honor of the Labor Day holiday. We are not going to be there on the 4th. So please make a note of that, September 11th. And our Wednesday night show will remain the first Wednesday of the month, which is September 6th. You need more information or you have any questions about that, you can go to www.drpatallen.com and for information on our products and our upcoming seminars and classes, you can go to www.oneistore.com. So let's start right away. Dr. Allen, you're on the air.
I'm glad to be here in service.
So what is your latest seminar that you did? I heard it was really successful.
It was really good. It was what do you want out of life? And so I had the people in the class that designed the next year, 2, 3, 4, 5, so that they could set their linemen, which is a piece of conscious and unconsciousness that basically is your unconscious working for you. And it was so amazing that each of the people, the thing they really wanted, they were afraid to verbalize. So they listed all kinds of plans. And then they shyly looked at the floor and said, but if I really had my way, I would blah, blah, blah. And that's when I worked with them to plan a course of action. You know, the biggest frightening thing in the universe is change. Napoleon Hill did a great book that I'd love everybody to look at and read, and it's called Outwitting the Devil. And the devil is the fear of change. And I got to see it in living color, and I was so glad that when I was in my master's degree training, that I had a wonderful professor that did want training. And I picked it up, and now I'm teaching it to other people and seeing how powerful it is.
Let me ask you this. What causes that shyness? Is it that they think that they don't deserve that kind of success or happiness in their lives? What is that, Dr. Allen?
Well, what it is, remember, Freud believed that we were pretty well cooked as human beings, temperaments and assets and liabilities, by the age of 3. And I hate to say it, but a lot of parents strip their kids to be losers. And that's what I have to fight when they get to be in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. They still remember what mom, you're just like your dad, or something like, you're never going to amount to anything.
And yeah, it's funny
it
you should
so
say
much
that.
Fun. What?
It's funny you should say that, because my mom was one of those parents, and she would say, this was her talk track, you're just like your dad, comma, your dad's such an asshole.
And
I would think to myself, wow, mom, why don't you just be blunt and say what you're really thinking? And that had a profound effect on my older sister a lot more than it did me, because I used to think to myself, well, my dad's bitching, so I'd rather be like him than like you.
Right.
So that's interesting.
So I got to see the people in the class, and remember, our classes are just 6 people, and because of that, we really become a family from 9 to 4, and I totally believe that class did for them what my class did for me, which was allowed me to face the fear of change and march through it anyway.
That's beautiful, because we're really all hoping to get to what Erickson talked about as self-actualization. So right. I see that as a staircase there. I kind of imagine it as a staircase. And the one training is so valuable. It made a great impact in my life. It even changed the way I spoke and how I express myself. So I find
that's
it incredibly
what the
valuable.
Institute is for.
I really want to encourage. I want to encourage everybody to go take a look at our products. We've got products about the One Training. If you're not in town and you can't sign up for one of the very intimate six-person seminars. So if you can't, oneistore.com is the place to go to get that material and to really, really get some in-depth look at what Dr. Allen does and how she does it. It's pretty amazing. Dr. Allen, I think we've got calls. Are you ready?
I hope we have calls.
Are you ready for calls?
Yes.
Okay, let me tell our switchboard. And we have our wonderful Ronan running switchboard for us tonight. And he's pretty terrific. So he's going to let me know what's going on here. In the meantime, I want to thank the One Institute for bringing us here each and every week to be with you, to answer your questions and your phone calls, and so that we can tell you about the exciting stuff that's going on with the One Institute and with Dr. Allen. Also, remember, if you sign up for our newsletter, you're going to get a first peek at everything we have going on, which means if you want to sign up for one of those very intimate classes, you're going to know before anybody else, before it comes out on the regular general, popping up on Facebook and places like that. So definitely look there. So the Want Training, Dr. Allen, and the intimacy of the six people, you were saying, is really like becoming a family.
Very much so.
And so by the end of the day, everybody feels comfortable to actually express their wants.
Yes, but they're also feeling courageous because, as you mentioned, worthiness and deserving. Remember, women are worthy of changing. Men deserve changing. It's interesting. Women want generally, and men want specifically.
Really?
So when they get into a group, they have to figure out if they're worthy and deserving. And men who feel they're worthy very often don't do anything to deserve it. And women who are deserving generally are such mean women that they are not worthy of cherishing. So it's very interesting how a group setting can show people what they really are, man or woman, deserving or worthy, so that they can deal with that blockage.
So let's kind of take a Facebook question right now. A man began dating me about a month ago, and we live about 40 miles apart, but we see each other consistently. We spoke and text a lot. My birthday came around and he sent me flowers. It was full on courting. It was so nice. Last weekend, he came to my house to hang out and it got steamy. But I kept to my Pat Allen tools and did not sleep with him. Since that day, his demeanor has completely changed. Not speaking as often and made no plans for this weekend. I'll not reach out to him, but I want to tell him to never text me again. My ego is clearly bruised. What is your insight on this situation, Dr. Allen, and what advice can you give me?
Well, first of all, you didn't sleep with him. Sleeping with him is not intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
Were you? What?
I agree, Dr. Allen. That's what you always say. Sleeping with somebody is not the same as having intercourse.
No. And what I'm concerned about is that you shut down affection along with sex. And affection is the bodies talking to each other, the holding hands, the arms around.
Hello?
Hello.
We've got a caller, Dr. Allen. All right, caller, you're on there with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hello.
My question is this. I've been accused, so a man has been seeing me for about 6 months, and he recently told me that I'm too passive and that I'm sometimes passive-aggressive because, you're going to love this, I quote, "You never tell me what you want, and then you get upset when I do something that you don't like. All I've been doing is your stuff."
So, did you happen to tell him that you basically would tell him what you didn't want if he asked for something you didn't want?
Correct, yes.
Women get what they want by knowing what they don't want.
Oh, yes, and that's what I've been practicing. But he recently, he's like, "Why don't you just tell me what you want?" I'm like, "Well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be the dude."
That's right. What you were doing was dealing with a man that wanted to be cherished more than respected. He wanted the easier, softer way of you leading and you risking rejection rather than him. So we know that he was raised to obey his mother or else.
He didn't have a mother growing up. She died when he was four. So he only had a dad, and they have a good relationship. His mother died when he was four.
His mother died when he was four. Well, I mean, was there no grandma in his life? Was he totally abandoned by women?
No, there wasn't a grandma. I think she died when he was fairly little. He has a dad, and then he had an aunt, but she wasn't very present. I think there wasn't a woman in his life. No, not anyone close.
Then this man needs a masculine mama, and you are studying to be a feminine woman. So you're incompatible.
Oh, damn it. But then at the same time, he's quite competitive, he's quite controlling, he's cherishing, he's very generous. So I'm really confused. I don't think he's, it's like a mixture of things. But then he is like,
I understand that. Do you stroke him? Do you appreciate him when he does step out and risk asking for what he wants?
Yes.
Okay. So what are you speaking of? Does he want you to plan every other week for a date? You know, you can negotiate time, space, money, and play and shift roles back and forth. Do you know if he wants to negotiate boundaries for the relationship?
Oh, we negotiated several times. A few weeks ago, I said that I would love to spend more time on the weekend. Well, I mean, we spend weekends already, but my schedule is so tricky, so I would love it, because he's like, "Oh, I love to be spontaneous." I'm like, "I appreciate that very much, and so do I, but due to my job's, due to my work's schedule, I can't always be spontaneous, so, and I would love to have fun, and so I have Saturday off every single week, so how about we plan something for Saturdays, and then the rest of the time you can be spontaneous."
What did he say?
He said okay, but then
all right.
At the same time, a week later, he tells me that he wants to go on a trip for the whole weekend. And prior to that, I said, "I would love to do that, but I need to know at least a week in advance so that I can schedule my work so that I don't have to do anything on the weekend."
And then what did he say to that?
He said, "Okay." But then he didn't plan this trip. So somebody else plans trips with him, right? Like his friends do. And he said, "Well, I don't plan this. They plan these things and they asked me if I would like to go. So I said, yes. And would you like to come with me?" And I said, "I would love to come, but I can't because I have to work this weekend. But next weekend I could go, for example." But then obviously, so it's kind of confusing.
I hear you doing a very good job of being a woman, but what I'm hearing from him is that he wants to be respected and cherished, and that takes up all the air in the room.
Yeah, I can't do that.
But you sound like you're defending yourself fine. I have to work, therefore I can't do that. And once more, I'm saying, if he wants to be a 10 and you have to be a 0, you're going to be incompatible.
No, I don't want to be a 0. I've been a 0 once before. I'm done. It was a then different type of 0.
Keep on patiently. You have every right to want me to go on the weekend, but I'm working and I need a week's notice. So whenever I can't go, please go and enjoy yourself. Knowing full well
that I have no problem with that.
What?
And I have no problem with him going without me. That's fine. It's just, but at the same
That's
time, I
want to
have fun. Yeah.
What okay. I'm hearing is so, he's frustrated with reality.
Oh, he is. Yeah, I can tell. It's been six months.
Give him more reality until he learns to handle that change is the essence of life. You've got to change your rigidity into negotiability and not seduce or intimidate people.
His past, from what I know, his past girlfriends were very masculine. And he's even said, because I told him about you, I said what I'm trying to do. I said why I'm trying to do it. I said it's because I want to be a better partner and be very, you know, be more respectful. And I want you to be happy too. And he really liked it. And he said, yes, my past girlfriends were very, very masculine. And they were crazy and abusive too. They were like physically abusive. So
I understand that. And he's not with them. But remember, you said he lost his mother at a very early age, right?
Yes, correct.
So what he wants is a strong mother who acts like a very, very respectful doormat. They don't come in that package.
Yeah, no.
What you're telling him is, with respect, the reality of what you can and cannot do. And you're allowing him to accept it and go do what he's got to do.
Okay. So more of reality then is your advice.
Yes. Keep on negotiating reality.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carla.
You're welcome.
Oh, also, I got your compilation of the special that you guys had last month of your lectures. Awesome stuff. I'm listening to it now. It's amazing.
Awesome. That's a great packet.
Yeah, even for $20 it was a steal, but for even $49 the usual price, it's also a steal. So everyone should get it. It's like, it's hilarious too. Your jokes are to die for, and it's so funny.
Thank you for the advertisement.
Of course. You're welcome. Bye.
And that is an excellent package. I'm so glad she mentioned it. I'm not sure if it's still on special, but even for the $49, it's worth every penny.
Good.
All right. It looks like we've got another call coming in.
Good.
Here we go. Hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. Hi, Pat. Dr. Allen, I've called in before. I'm the one, I'm getting married, I have a fiance, whatever, I've called a few times. So I just had a question about how I could have handled something better. This weekend, he works a lot and he was really tired and I was starting to get a little needy for attention. And we went out to a friend's house and he asked if he could drink alcohol and I would drive. And I said, sure, even though I was a little bit bummed about it. But he never gets to go out. So we did that. And then it was getting late, about 1 o'clock. And I was feeling just needy, like I wanted to go home and cuddle and didn't want to be out with people because I hadn't seen him for a week because he worked out of town. So I told him at 1 o'clock in the morning, he poured himself another drink. And I looked at him and I said, I'm getting tired. Do you think we can go soon? And he said, oh, yeah, babe, tell me when you want to go. And I said, okay. And then I got kind of weird and evil. And I was like, well, you just poured yourself another drink. So obviously we can't go now. And he looks at me and he goes, "Oh, whenever you want to go, babe, just let me know." And then I got this weird energy and just bitchy. And then I kind of took it one step too far, because then he poured out his drink and he said, "Let's go." Like I had just pushed his button too much. And then in the car, I was going to get mad at him, because I was going to say he was inconsiderate for I hate being out late. And he was not having it. He turned it around and said, "You know what? I work 80 hours a week. This is the first time I've got to go out and enjoy myself with friends. And you couldn't even tolerate and let me have a good time." And just, he was so angry. He never gets that angry at me. I was just wondering how I could have done that better.
The problem is you didn't negotiate the time frame before you went out.
Well, I guess I didn't think it had to be that predictable.
I got news for you. Now you know it does.
Yeah, I do. I do.
I have people negotiating time, space, money, and play. All of it. There are four signs of a loser in communication.
Okay.
One is evasive. "Yeah, I want to, we can go out anytime you want." That's too evasive.
Okay.
The second thing is secretive. "If you loved me, you'd know what I need and want." The third sign of a loser is condescension. "You women are all the same. You guys are all the same."
Okay.
And the fourth one is abruptness. "We can go home now. I'm going to pour out my drink." You understand?
Well, he said that I was abrupt, that like I just all of a sudden decided it was time to go home and just
I know that
was the law.
But if you knew, if before you went, you said to him, "What time do you want to be home?"
Well, he's a very late bird. He would stay there till 4 a.m, and I'm an early bird. I want to go home around 12 or 1.
Therefore, you would say to him, "I'm not comfortable with 4 a.m. I really want to be in bed by 12.
Okay. And his idea that...
If you ask him what he wants, then you'll have something to respond to with feelings.
Okay, so I would ask... I would ask him, "What time do you want to come home?"
"Yeah, what time do you want to come home?" And he would say, "Well, what time do you want to be home?" "I'd be comfortable with 12.
Then he would probably say, "That's a bit early. I don't get to go out much. Would you mind, 2 or something?"
You would negotiate a compromise. I understand that. You would decide if one extra hour would be worthy. He's worthy of that. What I want you to remember is negotiation can't be evasive, secretive, condescending, or abrupt. It can't work that way. The only way that those things work is when you're intimidating or you're seducing each other with guilt. Fear and guilt, those are the negotiators for people that are disabled. Don't do that.
Okay, because it turned into a big deal. I mean, we got over it, but he...
You know what?
I had told him, what?
Don't get over those things, because eventually they do what acid does. They burn off everything. Please hear what I'm saying. Find out what his wants are and tell him how you feel about it, please.
Okay, and then I guess where I want to know is with the whole cherishing and respecting thing, does he necessarily just do what I want to cherish my feelings or do what I want? Or
no.
Because if you negotiate...
He makes his statement.
Okay.
The secret of intimacy is I get to ask for what I want, and I get to say no to what I don't want with respect and cherishing.
Okay.
That's the basis of want training.
Okay.
Men need to be respected to feel cherished. Boys need to be cherished to feel respected. Women need to be cherished to feel respected. Our feelings count. Women
Oh, he said to me, if you would have just told me, hey, babe, I'm getting tired. Do you think we could leave after this next drink? He said that because he always wants to make me happy, he would have left right away, even maybe before his last, you know, before finishing that drink. But he says it's the way I did it, which.
The way you did it was disrespectful. But the way he's saying it, he might or might not do what you want. But if you knew what his boundaries were for the evening, you could say what your feelings were. Look, you're never going to be wrong asking him what he wants, what he thinks, what his, you know, what his opinion is, and what you can do to help you and he do it. And he's never going to be in a doghouse. If he cares what you feel about everything he thinks he wants.
Okay, I get it. I'll re-listen to this when, you know.
Good.
It's better to take it in on the recording.
Good.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Also, don't forget to go to the website and look for our products. Dr. Pat Allen has products about the want training and, of course, her incredible book, Getting to I Do. If you haven't read that, you've got to get it and you've got to read it.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks, caller.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
There's three waltzes that we go through. We go through disco. That's when you are hooking up. You're not really intimate, but you're both listening to music and dancing. Then there's the codependency. One person is a 10, and the other person is a doormat 0. And then the third one is a covenant where each of you decide, do I want to be respected or cherished first? If you want to be respected, have the courage to say what you think and want, but ask your partner how they feel about it. And if you want to be cherished, please share your feelings, you see, in order to support what you're doing.
I do, and you really outline that in Getting to I Do when you talk about the contracts of time, space, money, and play. And it's not just a general, it's with an event. Like they wanted to go, he wanted to go out. That's like a micro contract. Like, what time do you want to go home, you know? I really appreciated what you were saying, because it isn't just one big contract. Every little event in life that we do, like, are we going to your parents' house for Thanksgiving? Are we going to my parents' house for Thanksgiving? I see I see a lot of people get in trouble with that. You know, I see, you know, holidays just get, are just one example, because it's so, can be so touchy, that I think that that's one of the negotiating points that is so important, you know. And I remember when I was younger, thinking to myself, I want to marry an orphan so I can always go to my family's house.
Right.
And, you know, which isn't really a reality. You can't really do that necessarily. But, you know, because I knew that that negotiating point is really a rough one. And sometimes even just, you know, he works a lot of hours and he wanted to go out with his friends. And, yeah, he wanted to have a good time, but I see what you're saying. At the beginning of an event like that, or prior to an event like that, you really need to know what the parameters are.
Right.
And the boundaries. So, Dr. Allen, do you talk about that in, do you really go over those contracts in depth in your Getting to I Do course?
Yes. We do Getting to I Do for women, because marriage is for women and kids, not guys. When a man marries, he takes on responsibility. When a woman marries, she gives up a lot of independence. And so I do Getting to I Do, and I do it for women, because as you know, we women, we are totally in control of the emotional level of the relationships. In my book, Getting a Man's World, a Woman's Universe, men are very interested in dealing with stuff, and we are very interested in dealing with the oxygen of love, which is to be able to communicate. I love what George Bernard Shaw said. People are created to love one another and use things. But in today's world, we're starting to love things and use people.
Right. Now, that's a really interesting point that you make, because I just read an article and I thought, I'm going to send this to Dr. Allen, about how the concept of social media is disrupting actual relationships, because people are sharing things that are intimate that you would share with an intimate partner that you wouldn't necessarily share with the world, but people are exposing that on social media, and some people are feeling like that intimacy between two people is broken by that. What's your stance on social media and relationships?
It comes under number one, texting is left lobe, not that sensually intimate. Men love texting, and masculine women love texting, because the vulnerability factor is much lighter than speaking. Speaking comes closer to the physical, to the intimate physical being. Remember, relationships are physically intimate, intellectually intimate, and morally intimate, in that you have to learn what you want and what you don't want and exchange it. But the more you get away from being a physical human being, the more you become a computer.
Right, right. Because I do see strain on relationships. As a matter of fact, a girlfriend of mine just contacted me and she said, well, first he was sharing things and messages, and then they went to lunch, and now it's escalating. And so these intimate encounters online through social media are tending to escalate, which I think is something that, you know, is a barrier. We have a really cool question here, Dr. Allen.
What's that?
This lady would like to know, do men screen women they first meet as sex partners only or as mate material? A man slyly asked me questions having to do with compatibility, which I didn't seem to pass, but I don't think I was given a fair enough chance for us to explore interests and values.
First of all, men pick with their eyes. Harvard did this study in the 90s. Men want sensual and sexual stability if they choose to be in a responsible mate or marriage relationship. One-third of the time, they want status and security. They want sugar mama. Two-thirds of the time, women want status and financial security to raise kids and be a family. One-third of the time, women want sensual and sexual stability. They're called cougars. So when a man sees a woman, he evaluates her for physical benefits, sexual benefits. And if she gives him sex easily, he says, thank you, ma'am, and moves right along, because he hasn't learned what she is. All he knows is that she's an object of sexual delight. Women pick with their ears, and the ears say that he either wants you to be his sex partner, or he wants to get to know you, and he's going to interview you. I like it when men interview women about everything. I don't like it when women expect to be cherished and also interview men. It doesn't work right. that way. That's narcissistic.
Mm-hmm.
So what the lady is saying is she met a man who was interviewing her for information as to whether there was more than a sexual objective here.
Right, and apparently she did not pass his scrutiny.
That's right.
Interesting.
And
here's
maybe,
another
proof. Maybe he was asking her questions to prove she was going to be a cheap lay.
Right. And then one of my ladies asked me, well, why is it a big deal if you have sex with, on the first date? I said, because then he just sits there and thinks to himself, she'll do this with anybody. She
Here's
has no virtue. She
say.
Has no virtue.
A friendship does not go past the first lay.
To explain that, Dr. Allen, so our listeners have a little bit of a better understanding of that.
A friendship, under every loving relationship, there has to be a friendship, agape love. I want the best for you. I want the best for me. I want a friend. Then it can move. No friendship can advance past the first lay because the lay is purely physical, passionate, and burnout time.
Right.
It overrides the intimacy of human friendship. But you need to be friends to be real lovers.
I agree with that. We have another great question. When duty dating and you are trying to stay in the feminine, but you are with a person who just simply doesn't speak, either they're shy or nervous or both, what do you do if you're not supposed to interview them? Do you just sit there silently too?
This is what you do. You're on a duty date and you're practicing skills. And skills can be, sometimes it's up to the woman to basically be a man. That's learning.
Mm.
When you spot a man that is so shy that he cannot really speak well, step in and mother him. All you don't have to do is have a second date with him, whereupon you say, you know, I just don't have the romantic feelings for you, and I don't want to use you, and I don't want to lead you on.
I think that's brilliant advice because, it doesn't have to be an unpleasant encounter, even if it's not the encounter that you were wishing for. You can
that's
make it
right.
as pleasant as possible and then just not, you know, just not go again on that date. And I realize women are thinking that duty dating is very difficult, Dr. Allen, because we get a lot of questions about that. Isn't it cheating?
Duty dating is when you don't feel the chemistry, but they're decent human beings, and I recommend 3 dates because anybody can act weird on a first date, second date, maybe even a third date if they're chemically attracted, because when our chemistry gets revving up, we get weird and clumsy. So at least give them 3 dates if they are within the realm of nice people. And that's for you women as well as men. Don't judge people fast on one shot and that's it.
Well, and first dates are hard. They're really hard.
You know when first dates are easy?
When you don't care.
No chemistry.
Right.
Chemistry is so mollifying. It's almost a liability, but it's so valuable that it's worth having.
So here's an interesting question, Dr. Allen, and I think we're having problems with our switchboard, so I'm just going to go ahead and ask this question, too. Dr. Allen, I have a defiant teenager who is just appearing miserable and won't cooperate. I've tried using your techniques of asking her, how do you feel about doing this and how do you feel about doing that? And she usually has a terse, defiant, or ugly reply. What am I doing wrong? What should I be doing?
First, go directly to your local bookstore and buy Brainstorms by Daniel Siegel.
Okay.
What's that about? We have just recently found that teenagers, 13 to maybe even 25, teenage people, young people, do not produce enough dopamine naturally to be happy because nature wants them out of the house. Therefore, they cause all kinds of tension for no reason from 13 on up until they're in their mid-20s. And the truth of the matter is, they're dopamine deprived, and that's why they drive too fast, ride motorcycles, go to rave parties, practice drugs. Do you know that people in their 60s are happier than people in their 20s?
Really?
Yes.
That's amazing.
What's happening is countries are starting to evaluate their population for happiness. And they're finding that young people in the turmoil of constant change and dopamine deprivation are really uptight human beings. So if you know that, you'll say, okay, my kid is a teenager and I'm going to live through it and so are they.
Right. Right. She's sending us another message. She's saying, my child went from a smiling, bright ray of sunshine into an absolute demon. Oh, my goodness.
I say, get the book by Dan Siegel, Brainstorms.
Brainstorms. Okay. Our Facebook gal, Dr. Allen, saying, get Brainstorms. Dan Siegel, right, Dr. Allen?
What?
His name is Dan Siegel?
Yeah, Dan Siegel.
Okay, great.
He's really a marvelous, mindfulness-oriented, creative man. And this book really made a lot of sense to me. You know what it does? It allows you to like people that are temporarily nutty.
coping with the temporarily insane.
Yes.
Okay, I like that. I may actually get that myself, being a mother of four daughters, one of which is coming into her teenage years, one of which is just leaving her teenage years, and venturing out into the workplace and college and all of that. That's been a battle. So I get what she's saying, because my 20-year-old was really, really wacky.
Right.
Really, really wacky, Dr. Allen. Like, oh my gosh, are you serious? What has gone on with my kid? So, I see her point. And I see what she's also saying. It can be quite disruptive in the household, especially, if there's other adults in the household,
I understand that. We want to show off what great parents we are. Well, nature outranks us, and Brainstorms sounds totally reasonable. Every dog, every little bitch, and I mean dog bitch, pushes her cubbies away when she wants them to grow up and go away. And you and I both know that when there's a runt born, that mother will push that runt out of the nest entirely to die. mercifully.
Yeah. I was just actually having that conversation, and I said, this is just a thing in the natural world that happens. And my 14-year-old said, well, it's cruel. And I said, well, nature is, by very virtue of her existence, cruel. You know, this is how the strong survive and the weak don't. It looks like
Darwin,
we have a call.
Darwin.
Hey, yes, Darwin. Caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen Live. Do you have a question? Hello, caller. And we've got the invisible caller. Hello, caller, are you there?
Hello, I didn't know I was on.
You're on, darling. You're on live. You have a question.
How do you know how much affection is to ask for or how much is your own neediness?
I have four things that I teach to not ask for. Love, affection, time, or sex. Once you ask for love, affection, time, or sex, you're no longer feminine.
I meant ask for in the proper way, as making the appointment and saying I don't feel comfortable with the amount of or the lack of hugging, or I meant ask for it in the proper way.
You can't look. When you talk to the left lobe in a right-handed man, especially, left-handed men, their brains are built like we are, and they can mix their thoughts and feelings, but they still are on testosterone. Once you say, I want you to give me more love, more affection, more time, and more sex, we're putting them under duress that doesn't allow them to give you more, better, different love, affection, time, and sex. You can ask him to move the garbage. You can ask him to get more money. You can ask for a lot of things, but don't ask for those four. What you say to him is, I know you're doing the best you can to give me love, affection, time, and sex, but it's not enough for me. And I am going to leave you and get someone else. We are incompatible. Remember what I say. Women get what they want when they know what they don't want. Once you're not getting enough love, affection, time, and sex to keep you comfortable, it's your time to tell him, I want to speak to you about something very sensitive. Is it convenient? Yes. I have so enjoyed the 14 years that we've had together. However, I'm not getting enough love, affection, time, and sex, and I know you're doing the best you can, but I'm leaving. Goodbye.
Okay.
Now, what would happen if you said that to your man?
Probably goodbye.
Well, isn't that what you want?
Mm-hmm. Or?
Because if you accept what he gives you, because there's one thing he gives you which is good enough to put up with the other stuff. Is this man you're talking about 51% valuable to you?
Unsure.
What's the one thing that keeps you with him?
Common spiritual values.
You know what? Then remember, that's why you're with him. You're not with him for love, affection, time, or sex, because he demonstrates it when he shares spiritual values with you.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, we're out of time. Thanks, caller. Dr. Allen, what have you got to say before we go?
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Follow us on Facebook. Go to Dr. Allen's site. Look for our stuff at wantistar.com. You'll love it. It's wonderful. And we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Thank Bye.
You. You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.